إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to start a new course, which is going to be in two parts, as was the last one. That means that there are two topics that are related to one another that we're going to cover. And the first of them is going to be that which is entitled Awamil Islah Al-Mujtama'. Awamil Islah Al-Mujtama'. Yani, in the translation that you have in front of you, it is entitled The Essential Principles of Social Rectification. And we might add, just for a little clarification, that Awamil is the plural of Amil, and Amil means the one who is doing the action. Yani, ism fa'il ala wazn fa'il. So it means that these are the elements or the factors or the, as translated here, principles that are necessary for the rectification, for the restoration, improvement and correction of the society. Yani, these are the active yani elements, the necessary factors in order for there to be rectification or restoration or improvement or correction of a society. That's the topic that we're going to take in the first part of this course. And the second part of the course is going to be a little bit more specific. Yani, the first part is the general yani rectification of the society, and the second part is going to be yani the purification of the individual, purification of the soul. So tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to yani say a few words of introduction, primarily related to the author of the first book, that is Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, rahmatan, wasian. Before we look at that, I want to start with just a word, a note to us to kind of yani make clear what we're going to be doing tonight, why we're doing it, okay? Yani, why are we going to talk about the author of the book, and why is this yani so important? And of course, most of us, we are already aware of why we do that. We do it all the time. We always talk about the author of a book, even if that author is as famous as our author tonight, that is Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz rahimahullah. But in any case, yani it has been reported in the Sahih of Muslim. An athar, yani a saying from one of the salaf, yani from one of the sahaba or tabi'een. In this case, is a tabi'een, one of the imams of the tabi'een, yani Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah. It's reported an ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, qala inna hadha al-ilma deenun. Inna hadha al-ilma deenun. Fanzuru. أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ فَانْظُرُوا. Yani, every one of you must look, consider, yani, who it is that you're taking your deen from. Yani, it's reported that Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, yani, one of the imams of the tabi'een, he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ دِينٌ. That indeed this knowledge, the knowledge of Islam that we are seeking, this knowledge is deen. It is deen. It is the religion itself. فَانْظُرُوا. Therefore, since that is so, that the knowledge is our deen, therefore, انظروا, every one of you must look, consider, think about, يعني انظروا أمن تأخذون دينكم, look and consider from who it is that you're taking your deen. يعني this is deen, this is your deen. So be careful, look and consider who you're taking it from. Do you take it from anyone? Would you take your deen from anyone? So likewise, the knowledge, يعني shouldn't be taken from anyone. You don't just go to any place, any gathering, any center, any masjid, and anybody who's talking, you just listen to them. يعني you make salah in the masjid, and a guy gets up, and he says, you know, after the sunnahs, we're going to have a speech or something. I don't know what they say, some line like that. And the bayan, okay. Allahu musta'an. And then they give you a chance to pray a couple of rak'ah, and then a guy gets up, and more than likely, by Allah, this I witnessed it hundreds if not thousands of times here in America and in Muslim countries. Naam. And I said before, and I'll repeat, that I used to live in the United Arab Emirates right next door to the National Center for Jamaat al-Tabligh. The masjid that was next to my house was their national center. Everybody who came into that country, they came to that place. So what I'm telling you, I know, I experienced it. I didn't read it in a book. Okay? Most of the time, the one who gets up and speaks, he doesn't know anything about Islam. Sometimes he might be a new Muslim and it's your turn, you got to speak. He doesn't know what to say. Maybe he can't even read. And they give him a book to read. I actually witnessed this. فَانْظُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينُكُمْ. Look and consider who you take your deen from. Who you take knowledge from. Oh, but he has a PhD from Azhar University. He has a master's degree from Azhar University. He has a degree from this place and that place. You have to be careful who you're taking your deen from. Some of these people, they get a degree from Azhar University. I witnessed this myself. I went to the masjid to pray Isha one night, and a man was speaking, and I was looking around, like, all of these people sitting here are listening to this? Like he's saying one thing, and then he's contradicting himself in the next breath. And people are just listening. Subhanallah. انظروا أمن تأخذون دينكم. Be careful who you take your deen from. This is a athar from one of the imams of the Salaf, one of the imams of the Tabi'in, Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah. He said, indeed, this knowledge is deen, the religious knowledge. Quran, Sunnah, yani, fiqh, whatever. It is deen. فانظروا. Therefore, because of that, you must, every one of you must look and consider from whom you are taking your deen. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he was asked a question. يقول فضيلة الشيخ هذا القول ينسب لمن وما معناه يعني بأن هذا العلم دين فعلم أمن تأخذون دينك. This is the question. يعني فضيلة الشيخ, this saying is attributed to who? يعني who is this saying from? Who is it that has said this? And what is its meaning? يعني what is the meaning of this knowledge is deen, therefore you must know from whom you are taking your deen. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he answered the question, he said, نعم هذا مأثور عن بعض السلف أظن عن ابن سيرين رحمه الله. He said, yes, this is something that has been conveyed. يعني مأثور, يعني an أثر. From some of the Salaf, or from one of the Salaf, I think it is Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, the Shaykh said. And then he said, Al-ilmu deenun li-anna deena qa'imun ala ilm. He's explaining, why is this, he saying this, that indeed this knowledge is deen. He said, Al-ilm deenun li-anna deen, because the deen itself is qa'imun ala ilm. يعني it is based upon, its foundation is knowledge. The foundation of the deen is knowledge. فالدين بدون علم لا ينفع. Huh? Therefore, a deen, يعني or the deen, whoever's deen it is, that doesn't have knowledge, there's no benefit. It doesn't benefit. So that a person who says, I'm a Muslim, but they don't seek knowledge. They don't yani, sit in the circles of knowledge. They don't listen to the scholars. They don't read the books of the scholars. They're just a Muslim. that deen bidun ilmin la yanfa'u. Is it clear?
No.
Wallahi, that's so important. What the Shaykh has said here. Look, Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, hafizahullah, he is a scholar, well known throughout the world. He doesn't talk a lot. He doesn't talk a lot. But when he talks, he says something. And he gives a few words here. He said, the deen without knowledge, there's no benefit. There's no benefit. That's why seeking knowledge is so important. I said. The Shaykh says, فَلَا بُدَّ. And after he said, so the deen without knowledge doesn't benefit, فَالدِّين قَائِمٌ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ. And that is because the deen, it is based upon, it is standing upon, its foundation is the knowledge. فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا يَسْتَقِيمُ بِهِ دِينُهُ. So it is of necessity, it is mandatory, that the human being must learn that through which his deen will become upright. His deen will be straight, it will be established. He must, la buddha, he must learn the knowledge that will make his deen upright. هذا من ناحية. So this is, يعني, the explanation of this athar from one angle. From one angle. What is the meaning of a deen? يعني وهذا العلم دين. Now the Shaykh says, والناهية الثانية, and from another perspective, أن المشايخ والمعلمين يختلفون. From another angle, we're going to look at the same author from another angle now. Second angle, he said, the مشايخ, the sheikhs, and the teachers, they are not all the same, they are different. يختلفون. Not every person who's teaching is the same as the next one. They are not the same. منهم من يتقي الله ويخشى الله ويربي على العلم الصحي والعقيدة الصحيحة. هذا هو الذي يؤخذ عنه العلم. Huh? والله, this is مهم جدا. And I've said it before, but I like to read from the scholars so that when what we're saying is not from ourselves, it's from the scholars. This is what they say. The Shaykh Saleh Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله, he said, from another perspective, the sheikhs and the teachers are different. They are not all the same. From them are those who have taqwa of Allah and who have khashya of Allah and who nurture the people, teach them, yurabbi, based on authentic knowledge and correct aqidah. Not every sheikh is teaching people authentic al-ilm al-sahih wal-aqidah al-sahiyah. Not everyone who's teaching is teaching that. They are not the same. So this is the one who has taqwa of Allah, and the one who has fear of Allah, and the one who nurtures, teaches, educates the people based on authentic knowledge and the correct aqidah, he, this is the one from whom knowledge is taken. وَأَمَّا الْعَالَمَ الضَّالُ وَالْعَالَمَ الْمُتَسَاهِلُ والمنافق الذي علمه على لسانه فقط. But as far as the عالم, he said, who is astray, who is misguided, he's a عالم, نعم, but he's ضال, he's astray, he's off the path, he's not upon the sunnah. As far as that عالم, نعم, he has a PhD from Azhar, he's a عالم, but he's ضال. Or the عالم who is متساهل, yani he's too lenient. Yani he's not firm in sticking upon the sunnah. Rather, let that go, let this go. Don't talk about that. Leave this. Mutasahil. Or the munafiq, outright munafiq, الذي علمه على لسانه فقط, whose knowledge is just on his tongue. Yeah, he has information. Huh? Yani if he sits, he can talk for a long time and say ayat, a hadith, explanations, لغة عربية, ما شاء الله, على لسانه فقط. I'm not يعني emphasizing this just because I just want to use up the time. This is what we are seeing right now in our midst. You don't have to go to another country to find it, it's right here. As far as the عالم who is ضال, And the alim who is mutasahil, he's an alim, but he's mutasahil, or the munafiq whose knowledge is just on his tongue, هذا لا يجوز أخذ العلم. And then the Shaykh had a second thought, he said, أو المبتدي هذا لا يجوز أخذ العلم عنه. This one, or these, it is not permissible to take knowledge from them. It's not permissible to take knowledge from them. The alim who is astray, the alim who is mutasahil, the munafiq and the mubtadi'a, the innovator. It's not permissible to take knowledge from him. لِأَنَّهُ أَثَّرَ عَلَى تِلْمِذِي. Because he will have an effect, an influence upon his student. He will affect his student. You will think, but I'm just taking some fiqh from him. Maybe, in some circumstance, it might be permissible. But really, the Shaykh is saying clearly, leave those people alone. Because he will affect you. And you will not know it. And that's one of the reasons why some of the scholars of the Sunnah, they warn the Muslim youth from going to the land of disbelievers to study. Because their teacher, in the university or wherever they're studying, will have influence over them. It's natural that the student will look up to the one who is benefiting him with knowledge. And he will be influenced by that person. And some of the people came back corrupted. And the corruption in some of the Muslim lands did not come from kuffar. A lot of that corruption came from the people of their land who went to the land of kuffar, was influenced by their teachers, and came back with that corruption. I witnessed this myself 20 years overseas, especially in the Gulf countries. I saw the people who came back from the lands of kuffar, how they were corrupted and polluted, and they begin to pollute the lands. Okay, so that is what the Shaykh said. So who do we take knowledge from? We take knowledge from the one who has taqwa of Allah, who has khashya of Allah. The one who is nurturing the people. Nurturing the people upon al-ilm al-sahih. But not just al-ilm al-sahih, al-aqidah al-sahiha. That's critical. What is his aqidah? There's some tafsil, some details, maybe this condition, considering that and the other. We're talking about general here. That's the general rule. If there's a specific situation, we look at it specifically. So tonight, in light of this effort that we just looked at, that this knowledge is deen, therefore, every one of you should look at and carefully consider from whom you're taking your deen, meaning your knowledge. Knowledge being deen. So we want to look at the imam of this era. One of the imams, for sure, of the people of Sunnah. No doubt. The author of this book, Awamil Iflah Al-Mujtama'a. Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Abdullah Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. So I found from alibana.com a brief biography of the Sheikh, and the source of it was from the Ibn Baz organization in Saudi Arabia, their website. But it was abridged and some additions, and I'm going to abridge it as I look through it. I'm not going to read all of it, but anyway, I sent it to the class. Whoever wants to read it, it's only 4 pages. There should be a whole book of 300 or 400 or 500 pages on the biography of this man, of the scholars of Islam. But in any case, this is a summary. And I'm going to read some of it, a little bit of it. Or as much as I can, but for the sake of time, we'll leave some of it. First, they said his name and his lineage. His name and his lineage. He was the noble, exemplary scholar Abdulaziz Ibn Abdullah Ibn Abdurrahman Ibn Muhammad Ibn Abdullah Ali Baz. And the family of Baz. Abdulaziz, his father's name is Abdullah, his grandfather's name is Abdurrahman. And his great grandfather's name is Muhammad, and his great great grandfather's name is Abdullah, and he's from the family of Baz, Ali Baz. Abdulaziz Ibn Abdullah Ibn Abdurrahman. And his name, his father's name, his grandfather's name. Ali Baz. May Allah have mercy upon him. The Baz this family was a family that had deep roots in knowledge and business and agriculture, and they were known for their virtues and character. And he came from a family of good people. And that's not a necessity, that a person can't be good if they didn't come from a good family. But more likely, when a person comes from a family that's known for having yani consciousness and adherence to the deen, usually the people that come out of that family are going to be like that. And that's the kind of family that he came from. His birth and early youth. I'm reading just some of it. He was born in Riyadh, the capital of Najd, on the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah. Yani the end of the year, the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the last month of the year. 12th day of Dhul-Hijjah, 1330, yani according to the Hijri calendar. The end of the year, 1330. And this is where he spent his childhood, adolescence, and early adult years. Yani in the city of Riyadh, the capital of Najd, yani the capital of Kingdom of Saudi Arabia today, Riyadh. Imam Ibn Baz was raised in an environment engrossed in knowledge. Yani knowledge was everywhere. Since Riyadh at that time was filled with scholars and people of guidance. And it was also a place of security and peace, since the king Abdulaziz had reconquered it and established justice there on the laws of Islam. And this was after Riyadh had been a place of endless turmoil and instability. Imam Ibn Baz first started learning the Qur'an, as was the custom of the Salaf, who would memorize and master the Qur'an before moving on to other subjects. This is a point, yani just to make a quick note on. Yani he started his learning with memorization of the Qur'an, and that was the way of the Salaf, that a person who intended to seek knowledge didn't go and study fiqh, he didn't go and study hadith, he didn't go and study tafsir until first he memorized the Qur'an. So especially the young people, but not only the young people, even the old people, we have to continue until we memorize the Qur'an, if Allah allows us to live long enough. But especially the young people, Ya Abdul Haq, and Ibrahim, and Ibrahim, and Yani Abdullah, Musa, we're going to include you in there too, Ya Omar, and Muhammad, and whoever's in the back. Huh? Who's that? Muhammad back there? Muhammad? Little Muhammad? Yes, you. Naam. We have to... Tariq? Naam, yes. We have to, this is important. How do you seek knowledge and you don't give care to the Qur'an? And we will see in the essay that we're going to start with that the Qur'an is the foundation of everything. There's no rectification of the society, nor purification of the individual except through the Qur'an. Except through learning the Qur'an, understanding the Qur'an, reflecting and pondering over the Qur'an, and acting upon it. So they said what? He first started by learning the Qur'an. And that was the custom of the Salaf, who would memorize and master the Qur'an before moving on to other subjects. So he memorized the entire Qur'an by heart before reaching the age of puberty. And then he went on to study at the hands of other scholars in his area. Yani before he reached the age of puberty, he finished the whole Qur'an. That's a goal. If you don't think you can do it, you just try. Allah is yani able to do whatever He wills. And even if you don't make it, if you're old already, maybe you have children, facilitate for your children, make a way for them, help them, assist them, give them all the tools and the environment that they need so that they can memorize the Qur'an. And I want to just make one more note about his early education and learning. It is also important to note that his mother, may Allah have mercy upon her, plays a large role in his path towards knowledge, since she would be the one who would constantly encourage and incite him towards acquiring knowledge, as he stated at the end, towards the end of one of his lectures. Yani his mother, and this is yani addressed to the sisters, yani the mothers, encourage your children, prompt them, incite them, facilitate for them, place in their heart a love for memorizing the Qur'an and seeking knowledge. And pray for them. And pray for them. Naam. And one last point here about his early life. Al-Imam Ibn Baz had sight for the first part of his life, and until he was 16. Then due to Allah's infinite wisdom, by the decree of Allah, Allah willed that the Imam's sight weakened due to an eye disease in 1346. When he was 16 years old, he got some eye sickness, which eventually led to him completely losing his sight in the year 1350, by the time he reached 20, or just before he reached 20. When he was close to 20 years of age, he had no sight. He was completely blind. By that time, he had already memorized most of the mutun. Yani the textbooks of fiqh, hadith, tafsir, aqidah, he had memorized them by then. Yani by the time he reached puberty, he had already memorized the Quran. So he went on and started memorizing the books. And Allah decreed that when he memorized those books, that he would lose his sight and the rest of his education and learning would be yani without having eyesight. And there was a benefit from this also. Benefits of losing his sight. Remarkably, losing his sight was a means of benefit for Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Ibaz, since he was able to achieve several advantages, of which we will mention four as an example, and not yani saying that it's limited to that. The first of them, the reward from Allah. Yani for the person who Allah takes their sight and they're patient with it. The second of them is strong memorization. Yani due to his loss of sight, it strengthened his memory, the need to memorize, because you can't go back and read it again. The third of them, lack of interest in worldly splendors. Yani the fact that him being blind, it helped him to not have a desire for the things of the world. And he didn't see those things, they were not a distraction for him as they are for most of us. So he was freed from that. And the fourth of them, high determination. Losing his sight only made him more determined and perseverant in his quest for seeking and acquiring knowledge, to the point that he became one of the senior scholars known throughout the world, in every country in the earth, amongst Muslims. Indeed, Allah replaced the light in his eyes with light in his heart, and a love for knowledge, and following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah. Okay, as far as his teachers, yani he had a lot of teachers. Some of them are mentioned here. I'll just mention a few of them. Yani from amongst his teachers was Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Latif Ali Sheikh. Yani Muhammad ibn Abdul Latif, from the family of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. He was a judge in Riyadh at the time, and he was a great-great-grandson of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Yani four generations. Great-great-grandson. Son, grandson, great-grandson, great-great-grandson. Second of them, Sheikh Salih ibn Abdul Aziz Ali Sheikh. Sheikh Salih ibn Abdul Aziz Ali Sheikh. And he also was a great-great-grandson of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. And he, yani Sheikh Salih Abdul Aziz, was the chief judge in Riyadh. These are two of his teachers. And the third one I mentioned, I'm going to skip a few of them and go to the last of them that's mentioned here. And that was the teacher that he learned most from. That was Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim Ali Sheikh. Also an ancestor, yani great, great, great grandson, five generations of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. And it is said here that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim Ali Sheikh, he was the chief mufti of Saudi Arabia. And Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, attended his study circles for about 10 years, learning all the Islamic sciences from him from 1347 to 1357, when his teacher nominated him to be a judge. May Allah have mercy upon all of them. His students, and there are many, 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 innumerable, but they mentioned a few of them here. Some of them have passed and some of them are still living. From amongst his students, from amongst the famous ones of his students, the outstanding, distinguished ones from the students of Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Ibaz, rahimahullah. These were his students. And that doesn't mean that they didn't study from anybody else. Because the people who became scholars, they learned from many people. But from amongst the most important people that these people learned from was Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Ibaz, rahimahullah. Who were his most famous students? Number one, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. I don't have to tell who he is. Sheikh Abdullah ibn Hassan al-Qurud, yani who passed away in 2004, yani about 14 years ago. He was a member of the Permanent Committee for Islamic Research and Fatawa and the Council of Senior Scholars. Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman al-Ghudayyan, rahimahullah. He also passed away a few years ago in 2010, I think. And he was a member of the Permanent Committee, yani of scholars and the Council of Senior Scholars. And then they mentioned some other scholars who were his students who are still living today. From amongst the most important of them is Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, who goes without saying. Yani he was previously the head of the Islamic University of Medina, and teaching in the Prophet's Masjid for the last, I don't know, any maybe 40 or 50 years. At least 40 years. Sheikh Saleh ibn Fawzan al-Fawzan, currently member of the Permanent Committee of Research, Council of Senior Scholars, goes without saying, may Allah yani protect and preserve him, one of the foremost scholars in the world today. Sheikh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, Hafizah Allah, also one of the foremost scholars of Hadith today. And Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah al-Rajihi, also a great scholar yani of our time today in Riyadh. These were some of his students. These scholars, every single one of them, are outstanding, distinguished, exemplary scholars today. Yani those who are still living and those who passed away. And Sheikh Abdulaziz al-Rajihi, I remember when we used to go to Riyadh in the summertime for vacation and they used to have the Dawra training courses and he used to teach in those courses. I went back to look yani, and see what he's doing now and I found that he supervised as the mushrif over yani people who are doing higher studies in the Islamic universities, 8 PhD students. Each of them did one volume as a PhD yani risala. 8 PhD students. Yani he supervised the collection of yani 10 volumes of one of the books of Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Each volume was a PhD degree study. And he was the supervisor of the whole of it. This shows you the magnitude of these people. Yani, subhanAllah. He didn't supervise one PhD study. 8 of them, yani one book that became the source of 8 students getting their PhD degree. Every one of them did one volume. In any case, these are some of his teachers, and I have to pay attention to the time. Please excuse me. From his books, yani there are many, innumerable. I looked on a website to see some of the books just so I can remember some of the books that I might not remember. It was just too many. In any case, they mentioned some of the books, so I'll mention the ones that they mentioned because yani, it will just take too much time. I'm going to add one book to the list that is in his biography that I sent out to the class. I'm going to put it on the top of the list, Al-Ilm. Al-Ilm. Yani, the Sheikh wrote an essay entitled Al-Ilm, Knowledge. That's tremendous. And it's translated into English. Now, we gave it one time, right? Yeah. To the students. Now, mashallah. Tremendous. Second book, the first book they got on their list is Ad-Durus Al-Muhimma Li'Amat Al-Ummah. Tremendous book. Yani the important lessons for the Muslim Ummah. Fiqh, Aqeedah, Tafsir, Akhlaq, Adab, everything is in there. The obligation of following the Sunnah and the warning against innovation. The obligation of following the Sunnah and warning against innovation. Tremendous also. They put it as 2 books. Perhaps, yani, there may be 2 titles like that. The book that I remember seeing, though, is have both of those titles in one. Probably there may be a separate book of each of these titles also. The Ruling on Celebrating the Prophet's Birthday, 3 essays on the prayer, 2 essays on fasting and zakat. Both of these books are also translated into English. The Dangers of Tabarruj. I'm not sure if it's translated to English. The Ruling on Pictures. I don't know if it's published, but it is translated. It's a part of the book on the rulings concerning At-Taswir. And it is a book on Taswir. And in that book, there's a few essays and fatawa and explanations of hadith. And it's contained in there. Yani the Ruling on Pictures. Tremendous essay of Sheikh Ibn Baz. It's about 30 pages. The Ideological Attack, yani Al-Ghazw Al-Fikri, which is also tremendous, is translated into English. The Life and Call of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, I'm not sure, I think it's translated. And A Criticism of Arab Nationalism, Naqd Al-Qawmiyya Al-Arabiyya Ala Daw Al-Islam Wal-Waqiyya. Yani Criticism of Arab Nationalism. Why specifically Arab Nationalism? Because he was addressing those people, the people who are lost in Arab nationalism. Okay, then there's some other points here. I'm going to just try to skip through as much of it as possible so that you can read it on your own. Whoever is not on our email list, just send me an email and then I'll forward it to you. Otherwise, I sent it to everybody who's on the list already. And there are so many books, yani, that the Sheikh has written, yani, that are not mentioned here. And from amongst the ones that are not mentioned here, that's very, very important, the waqid al-Islam, the nullifiers of Islam. Also, Kayfiyat al-Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani there are two books with this kind of title, yani Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi by Shaykh al-Albani and Kayfiyat al-Salat al-Nabi by Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah. And then there's also another book that I thought was very important, Khatar al-Ikhtilat, the danger of mixing between men and women, and Khatar Musharikat al-Mar'a lil-Rajul fi Maidan Amalihi, the danger of women sharing, participating with men in their workplace, in the workplace. And that book is also translated. It has my name on it as the translator, although I didn't translate it. Because the brother who translated it, I helped him to translate it, and he was shy to put his name on it, and I found out years later that he published it and put my name on it. I didn't translate it. I just want to say that. If you saw that book and you saw my name, I didn't translate it. I helped the brother who translated it. He was a friend of mine, a British brother, a European British brother, who studied in Medina. And, you know, in his last year, he wanted to translate that book, and I used to sit with him every day when we had time and help him go through it. But he actually translated it. So I just want to say, perhaps that book is out there, it has my name on it, I didn't translate it. Also, it mentions here some other things about his appointment as a judge. When Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz was selected for being the judge of Kharj district, he accepted it unwillingly. He didn't want to be a judge, since he had no desire or love for position. And that's very important. But it was due to the encouragement of his teacher, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim Ali Sheikh, rahimahullah, and the order of the king, King Abdulaziz, that he took up the position. So he went to Ad-Dalam, the capital city of Kharj district, at the time, and the people greeted him warmly. As soon as he got out of the car that transported him there, remember he's blind, right? He ascended the central mosque and prayed two rak'ah, and in accordance with the sunnah, and then he rested for a while in the presence of the emir of the city at that time, and they mentioned his name, and thereafter the people gathered around him, and he gave them a profound admonition. From the things he told them was that he had no desire to be the judge of their district, but that he was ordered to do so, and he must obey the leader, the ruler. And then it mentions that yani he began to work as a judge, and he judged the people with justice and kindness, and he served in this position for a little over 14 years. And the benefit that came to the people from him being the judge over their affairs, yani, is mentioned also, and then some other things. Again, I'm saying, like, for the sake of time, I'm going to skip through some of it. But the important thing is that he was appointed to be a judge, and he benefited the people as being a judge, but he had no desire for position. He had no desire for position. And also, Imam Ibrahim, may Allah protect and preserve him, he reminded me today before we started this class that we prayed in the masjid of Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz in 1979. That's like 40 years ago. In 1399, Hijrah. And he reminded me that it was a very small masjid and a very modest place. It didn't look like a place that anybody of stature should be the imam of that masjid or the person praying in that masjid. And he prayed in that masjid until, yani, they built a new masjid for him before he passed away. I had no desire for the luxuries of the world, or station, or status, or, yani, the things that people are seeking. Yani, he was the foremost, yani, scholar, and he was praying in a small masjid that looked like it was fit for, yani, person, yani, who has no station or status whatsoever. Imam Ibrahim, he has a better memory than me. He always reminds me of those things that happened a long time ago. It needs to be recorded, because I can't retain it. His educational and religious positions. Maybe some of the positions that he held. First, he was the judge of the Kharj district in Saudi Arabia for 14 years that we mentioned. And also he taught in the Educational Institute of Riyadh, yani Mahad al-Ilmi, which is very famous schools for religious knowledge in Saudi Arabia, and the College of Sharia after it was opened in 1373. After that, he went to Medina when the Islamic University of Medina opened, and he was the assistant to the president of the university first until 1390, and then he was appointed as the head of the university in 1390 after his Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, who was the head of the university, passed away. And he remained in that position from 1390 to 1395. And at that time, the king had ordered him to be appointed to the head of the Council of Islamic Research, al-Buhuth, al-Ilmiyya wal-Ifta. He became the head of this organization, and he held that position until 1414, yani for almost 20 years, 19 years. And finally, yani in the year 1414, yani he was appointed as the chief mufti of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and he held that position along with being the head of the Council of Senior Scholars and also being the head of the Committee for Islamic Research and Verdicts, yani until he passed away. And then they mention other positions that he held, yani permanent member of the Permanent Committee of Islamic Research, President and member of the Founding Committee of Muslim World League, President of the World League Council, President of the Supreme Council of Masajid, President of the Islamic Fiqh Assembly of Mecca, yani all of these positions that he held, subhanAllah, these were positions among scholars, yani everybody in the organization is a scholar, and he was the head of them. And the scholars from the world, from every country, they respected him as the leader of the scholars. That's a fact. Even some of those people are not people of the Sunnah, because some of the heads of the religious organizations in certain countries, they are not people of the Sunnah. But still they had respect for him, rahimahullah. And finally, I want to close with a couple of comments concerning his piety and humility. Or at least this is the end of what is mentioned here. The Imam knew of his own worth. Yani, know your worth, know who you are. Don't make yourself more than what you are. Have self-respect, yes, but know your place in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam, he knew his own worth, and so he was very humble before Allah. So he would treat the people in a kind manner, with gentleness and mercy. And he would not transgress over anyone or show arrogance to anyone. And he would not give a false impression of grandness or greatness, nor would he get up to leave when in the company of the poor and needy, or refrain from walking and intermingling with them, with the poor and needy. He would also never turn away from listening to the advice of those who were below him. And we know that there are people who won't take advice even from those who are above them, not to mention those who are equal with them. You're just like me, I don't need to listen to you. That's how people are. Yani Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah is an example in our lifetime. And he died 20 years ago. Maybe some of you were not living then, or you were not Muslim then, and you didn't have a chance to experience this man. But subhanAllah, in that time, the people of Sunnah were united, because we had imams that everybody universally respected. If somebody said Sheikh ibn Baz said this, wallahi, people have to stop. Naam, because of the station and status of this man, his knowledge and his humility and his piety was well known. I was going to an institute in Jersey City, Muhammad Hilmi's Institute, long time ago, some old timers they know, and there was a teacher there who was a PhD supervisor. Yeah, he supervised the people in Azhar University who were doing PhD. And Sheikh Muhammad Hilmi had brought him over to teach some classes. I remember having a discussion with him one time in the library in Sheikh Muhammad Hilmi's Institute. And we were talking about Salah, and I was saying that, you know, that time we had read the essay of Sheikh Ibn Baz about, yani, putting your hands back on your chest when you come up from Ruku. And I mentioned it to him, and he said, no, that's not from the Sunnah. And I said, I read that. He said, where did you read that? I said, Sheikh Ibn Baz wrote it in an essay. And he said, huh? He said, Sheikh Ibn Baz? I said, yeah, Sheikh Ibn Baz, I read it. He said that. And he said, okay, let me go back and look at this. He just stopped right there with that. SubhanAllah. But today, we are the people. This man was a scholar. He was supervising people in Azhar University who was doing PhD degrees. And he said, let me take a look at this. Let me take another look. But today, you can say Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Uthaymeen, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, and the people say, I ain't listening to that. And you ain't nobody. And we're just regular people. But scholars, when they hear the name of people like this, they say, let me take another look at it. Don't be so hasty, because they have respect. We don't have that respect today. May Allah save us from this. It says that Imam Ibn Baz passed away on Thursday the 27th of Muharram. Remember, he was born on which day?
of
Dhul-Hijjah, the end of that year, and he died in the beginning, yani, of 1420. So that means, yani, when you calculate the time, yani, there's just, and he entered the next year, but he only lived short time in the following year, the year that he died in 1420. So he was born in the year 1330, and he died in the year 1420, but he just entered into the year 1420. So it doesn't count as a year. And that's why it is said that, yani, he lived for 89 years, not 90, because he entered the 90th year, but he didn't complete but 1 month and 2 weeks of it. Imam Ibn Baz passed away on Thursday, the 27th of Muharram, 1420, yani, May 13th, 1999, due to heart failure. He was 89 years old at the time. Millions of people throughout the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and not just from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, even from the surrounding countries, from all of the Gulf countries, and even people came from other countries from around the world. Millions of people throughout the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia gathered to witness his funeral prayer, and he was buried in the Adel Cemetery in Mecca. Muslims throughout the world mourned his loss, and it was only a few months later that the Muslim world would lose another great scholar, Al-Imam Al-Albani. May Allah have mercy upon him. Naam. I just want to mention a few points before we close, yani, just some things that, a few points, very, very few points, and then we'll close, inshallah. Some things that were written elsewhere concerning Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. He used to advise people and warn them against taking haram employment and evil earnings. Be careful where you earn your money from. He watched the signs of evil and issued warnings against them with no delay, such as satellite dishes. I remember I was living in Medina, the time when the satellites first came to Medina. And the people who would put them on their houses, on top of the building, they would put up screens so you couldn't see it, because it was well known that this was fisk, fasad, satellite dishes, yani, bringing in stuff, filth and corruption from around the world. The people who would put it on their house, they would have to hide it. They couldn't even do it openly. But immediately he warned against this. He warned against journeying abroad, yani, young Muslims going to study in other countries, in the Kafir countries, to be corrupted by them. He warned against the harmful effects of music and movies, which have become widespread in the Muslim world today, even, unfortunately, yani, in Saudi Arabia. He wrote about the dangers of unveiling and free mixing between the sexes. With regard to the ordinary people, many of them would accept only Sheikh Ibn Baz's fatwa. And there were varying if there were varying scholarly opinions on an issue, an ordinary man might say, "That's enough. Give me a break. What does Ibn Baz say? Khalas, I can't understand all of this. Just tell me, what does Sheikh Ibn Baz say?" If he received an invitation from a janitor or a security guard at the Islamic University at the time when he was the head of the university, he would accept it. He would spend his salary and even borrow money from others if he didn't have it to help the people who were in need. One time a letter came to him from the Philippines, addressed to him. It was a letter from a woman who said, "My husband was a Muslim and the Christians killed him. And now I have become a widow and my children are orphans and I have no one except Allah, may He be glorified and exalted. And I said to myself, who can I write to?" Yani, from the human beings in this world, who can help me after Allah? And then she said, "I said there's no one but Sheikh Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, so I hope that you will help me." So he wrote to the, you know, the people in authority who were responsible for giving charity, but they didn't help. So finally, he himself, he said to his scribe, "Write a letter to the trustee of the funds for the university, yani the people who control the salaries, and begin it with greeting, and then tell him to deduct 10,000 riyals from my salary and send it to this woman." When he was appointed to the administration of the Islamic University of Medina in 1381 and thereafter, he used to check on the classrooms and check on the students to see what was their condition. He used to borrow from the university's funds to be deducted from his salary to help the poor students. One day he found himself in debt to the university, owing 400 riyals from his next month's salary. He spent already his salary for that month, and he started to take money from the next month's salary, yani so that he could give to the students who were in need. So when he found himself in that position, he borrowed from some other, yani of the shuyukh, and yani take money from them, borrowed it to give to the people who were in need. He would be very cautious when issuing fatawa. Often, yani he would say things like, we need to think about it. It needs some thought. Let me write to the committee that issues the fatawa so that we can discuss the matter with our brothers. Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he's saying, let me think about this. Let me consult. But us, yani we immediately have the answer to everything. Even people have no learning, no training, no background. They know everything about Islam. And one last story, he used to worship Allah continually and strive to obey his Rabb. One of those who accompanied him from Taif to Riyadh. Yani he lived in Riyadh in the capital, but in the summertime they would go to Taif because it's cool there and the government was set up in Taif in the summertime. I myself went with Talibuddin Shakir, one of our brothers from 1979, right? Yeah, Imam Ibrahim. And I went with Talibuddin once to Taif to meet Sheikh Ibn Baz, to get a letter from him, you know, to help us in some affair. And so, yani, there was a person who accompanied him from Taif to Riyadh, by land. When it was the middle of the night, about 2 a.m., the Sheikh said to his companions who were traveling with him, it seems that we are tired. Yani, he means, I recognize that these people who are with me, they are tired. He's an old man, and they are probably young people. He said, I see that we are tired. Let's take a break from our journey and get some sleep. So we stopped, and barely had our feet touched the ground, but we all fell asleep, except a few from amongst us who prayed one rak'ah or three rak'ah and then retired. The Sheikh also started to pray with those who were praying, and when the people with him who had prayed one or three rak'ah and went to sleep, when they woke up before Fajr, they saw he was still in prayer. He used to strive to reconcile between husbands and wives and between any people who were engaged in a dispute. This is very important, the disputes between husband and wife and the Muslims who have disputes between them. And finally, he was entitled to receive his salary 20 years before he died. He was already, yani, ready to receive his full salary in retirement, but he continued to work and to teach until the day he died. After saying all this, I don't want anybody to imagine, you know, I don't want anybody to think something different and to take this somewhere else. So I want to close tonight reading a statement which I think is relevant from a Shaykh al-Alama Ahmed ibn Yahya al-Najmi. He said, I'm close with this because I don't want anybody to imagine that what we said about al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah means that we are raising him to some status that's beyond what he is due. But it's just the recognition of knowing, when we read through this essay, the essential principles for social rectification, we need to know who this man is that is making these statements. We need to understand the station and the status of this man, but it doesn't mean that we made him into some idol or saint or something infallible. No, we didn't become yani people who believe in the infallible imams. The Shaykh, he says, وَلَيْسَتْ السَّلَفِيَّ إِنْدَنَا تَقْلِيدَ رَجُلٍ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ الْمُعَاسِرِينَ فِي كُلِّ مَا يَقُولُهُ وَيُفْتِي بِهِ. لَيْسَتْ السَّلَفِيَّ. Salafiyya is not for us. Blind following one of the men of these days, yani rajulun min rijal al-mu'asirin, fi kulli ma yakulu wa yufti bihi, in everything that he says and every legal ruling that he gets, he came with, we just blind follow. That is not salafiyya. Doesn't matter who it is. Not the scholars who passed away, Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Uthaymeen, Sheikh Al-Albani, nor the scholars who are living today. That's not salafiyya. That we take a sheikh, mashallah, he's the most knowledgeable man on the earth, whatever he says and whatever he rules, that's the end of the discussion. That's not salafiyya. I'm not saying this. I'm just reading what the Shaykh said. ومثل هذا النوع من التقليد نعتبره لونا من ألوان الحزبية الضيقة. And the like of this type of taqleed, this blind following, we consider it a color from the colors of Hizbiyah. Yani a type of Hizbiyah al-dayiqa. Yani this narrow, restricted Hizbiyah that only the Shaykh, whoever, whatever Shaykh it is, doesn't matter. That only we listen to him, or these two, or these three. We consider this lawnan min alwan al-hizbiyya al-dayiqa wa shaklan min ashkal al-ta'assub al-madhhabi al-madhmum. And this is a type of fanaticism, ta'assub, yani to a madhab that's blameworthy. It's blameworthy ta'assub. That only one sheikh, he's the only one, whatever he says, whatever he rules, that's the bottom line, the end of the discussion. And then the sheikh says, and this will be sufficient, in accord with what the yani al-Imam Malik said, when Imam Malik rahimahullah, the Imam of yani Darul Hijra, when he said that every scholar we take from and we leave illa sahib hadha al-qabr. That's what Imam Malik said. And the Shaykh, he closed with this kind of statement, yani that he said wal alim مهما على شأنه وأما فضله وعلمه لابد أن نأخذ من قوله ونرد. The scholar, no matter what level he reached, yani his status, how high his status became, no matter how yani comprehensive, vast was his fadl, yani his virtue, his excellence and benefiting the people and his knowledge, no matter what, لابد أن نأخذ من قوله. يعني we must take from what he said and also reject from what he said. We don't take everything that anybody said. And Imam Malik said that before. Imam Malik said that before. إلا صاحب هذا القبر. Except only one man that we take everything that he said, and that is the one who's buried, and he's pointing to the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is a Salafiyya. And we're going to stop here with this. I hope that all of us understood, yani, especially the last statement that we made here. I hope that it's clear and that there's no ishkal and no confusion. And yani, the point is simply that we love our scholars and we honor Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah and Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah and Sheikh yani, Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. And the scholars of today, may Allah protect and preserve them, Sheikh Al-Abad, Sheikh Al-Fawzan, Sheikh Rabia, we love them. And we respect them, and we honor them, and we know their station and their status. But there's no blind following of anyone except the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's not blind following. Allah ordered us. That's obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He ordered us to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.